It's my joy to be here again with you this morning, sharing and opening up God's Word. We are looking at Jonah, the book of Jonah. These past 4 weeks, we have been talking about a mission of grace. The theme, mission of grace. And today we are looking at chapter 3, God's grace for those who repent. That is God's grace that is extended to those who turn from doing things that offend God. You and I, we have offended God. And it is turning from the things that we have done to God and to following Him. Turning from our sin, turning away from a life that is contrary to God, and turning to God. Let me do a quick review, if I can, about some of the things that we have covered if you have not been here. We are looking at the book of Jonah, and for the past weeks, Pastor Matthew has shared with us about Jonah, who was called of God to go to Nineveh. God called Jonah to go to Nineveh to declare God's judgment upon the people and upon the city there. They are being judged because they have been a very evil people doing evil things, and God was going to deal with them. Jonah was called to go. Jonah was a prophet of God, and he was dedicated to teaching God's word, to doing as God had told him to do. But when God called him and told him to go to Nineveh, he wanted no part of it. Let's look at the map of Jonah as to where he went. So Jonah was in Joppa, and if you can see on the map, Joppa to Tarsus is about 2,000 miles. It's the distance between Muscatine and San Francisco, California. It's a long way. Jonah had come to believe that if he could flee, if he could just get out onto the ship, God wouldn't know where he was, and he could then escape and not do what God wanted him to do. Which is really interesting because he is a prophet. He is a man of God who had studied God's word, been taught God's word, and he thought he could flee God. But things didn't work out as Jonah had hoped. God knew where he was, as Jonah came to realize. And God had sent a storm upon the sea. It affected the ship, it affected the crew. They had to throw the all their cargo overboard, and their life was in danger. God did that to get Jonah's attention. The sailors realized that the storm was not of a natural cause. They went to find out why the storm, what was going on, and the lot fell to Jonah. They went and asked Jonah, "What's going on?" And so Jonah explains that God, the true God, the maker of heaven and earth, is that I follow. I'm a prophet of God, and I'm running away from him. Jonah recommends the way that you can solve this problem is throw me overboard. Toss me over and the seas will be calm. You guys can go about your life. And so they do. They toss him over, and they themselves are saved. Let's look at chapter 1 by Jonah's own words. In chapter 1, Jonah verse 1 through 9, 1 and 9 and 1 and 12. He told them, "I am a Hebrew, a worshiper of worship God, the God of heaven who made the sea and the land." Jonah said, "Throw me overboard into the sea, then the storm will stop. It's my fault. I am the cause of the storm. Get rid of me, and you get rid of the storm." So into the sea Jonah went, The sailors were safe. The storm stopped. Jonah went down and down and down. Jonah was at the bottom and he realized that he was about to die. He prayed. Jonah prayed that God would save him, so God does. But God sends an unusual way, sends a fish and swallows him up. So for the next 3 days, Jonah is in the belly of a fish. Jonah continues to pray. If you have not been here the last week or the week before, I'd encourage you to download Pastor Matthew's sermons. And he does a great job in explaining how evil the Assyrians are and what was going on in that time. He talks really greatly and shares about his prayers and about Jonah's prayers. So I'd really encourage you to download that and to listen to that. Let's look at point one, Jonah's obedience. We look at Jonah chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Let's look at the map as to where. So from Joppa, if the fish spit him out in Joppa or in that area, from Joppa to Nineveh, we're talking about 500 to 600 miles. Johnny, how long would it take you to walk 500, 600, walk from here to 500, 600 miles? Maybe down to Texas. How long would that take you, John? What do you think? If you walk 10 miles a day, you know, you've got to fix meals and stuff. If you walk 10 miles a day, it'd take you over 2 months. If you were able to walk 20 miles a day, you're talking about 4 or 5 weeks. A long time. Jonah had time to think about the things that he had done. It was a long walk, and God had given him time to think and to process through. He had time to think about what he had done, trying to flee God. He had time to think about fleeing God's presence and trying to flee God's presence, but he knew better. He had time to think about what he did in fleeing, and because of the storm and because of what he did, the ship, they lost all their cargo, a big expense. Because he fled, the people, the crew were in jeopardy. The ship was in jeopardy. He had time to think about that. He had time to think about being tossed overboard and sinking down into the sea. Going down, and he had time to think about his prayer. He had time to think about his vacation time in the belly of the fish, and how he spent, and how what he prayed, and what he had asked God to do, and about his prayer with God. He had time to think about how evil and the evilness of the Assyrians. Jonah was given time to think. Question. Jonah was struggling to go to Nineveh because of the people, the evil things that they were doing. He wanted no part of it. How about you? In your life, are there people that you struggle with? People that are doing things that you really don't want any part of them, and to live, to work, to even associate with them? How about bikers? We think of bikers, and oftentimes we think of the bikers as the bikers, say, the 1% crowd, the guys that are all doing really awful things. Do you have trouble going over and eating dinner with them? Oftentimes we struggle to associate and to go with people who are doing very, very awful things. We just really don't. We imagine, oh, this person here, by the way they look or what they do, it's like, oh, we can't, we don't want to do that. Jonah knew what was going on with the Assyrians. He knew how awful they were. He knew the evil and the sin that they were doing. And Jonah didn't want any part of it. But God tells us that we have all sinned. You and I, we have all sinned. Our sins deserve God's punishment. But God has come and he has forgiven us. Why can't he forgive these people that we don't like? Being rich in God's mercy, being rich in mercy, God has sent his son to die on the cross for you and me. We can be thankful that God, being a rich and merciful God, has saved us. This story is about today, the story is about those who need to hear. Story about God's mercy extended to sinners like you and me. Maybe you are like the Assyrians. You are doing things that God doesn't like. You have been continuing to live a life and doing what you wanted to do. And you feel guilty by the things that you have done. Maybe you have come to Christ, but you still struggle with certain lifestyles or certain thoughts. They still plague you. Or maybe you are like Jonah, and you are fleeing because God is putting on your heart to go talk with someone, to go and speak with someone, and you just don't want to do it. I shared with you last time I preached about a little bit about me. For many years I fled. I was like Jonah. I felt that I couldn't go do what God wanted me to do because I had been told throughout my life I was stupid. I believed it. And I told God, you can't use somebody like me. Go find someone else. I used that as an excuse. I used that as an excuse to flee from what God was calling me to do. Maybe you too are fleeing. Look at Jonah chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was exceedingly great, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey. And he called out, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Nineveh, the important city. Nineveh was a very large city. They figure about 120,000 inhabitants, so it was larger than the capital city, Babylon, of Assyria. So it was very, very large. This meant that for Nineveh, it was important. It was important for its size. It was important for its commerce. But look at verse 2. God told Jonah to go and arise to Nineveh, that great city. God is telling Jonah that it's an important city, but not because of its size. It's an important city to me. God is telling Jonah, I need you to go to Nineveh because this city is important to me. This is the second time that Jonah had gotten a message from God, the second time that God stressed the importance of Nineveh. He is stressing to Nineveh, to Jonah, the importance that this city means to him, and it is to him. This is what God had told him the first time, and now he is telling him again another time. The Assyrians were the enemy of Israel. Israel hated the Assyrians. They were an evil people doing evil things, and the common belief for the Israelites during this period was is that people and countries that do evil things should face the wrath of God. So the Assyrians, they were doing evil things. They believed the Assyrians should face the wrath of God. Jonah was a prophet of God, and he had been taught the word of God. Jonah, being a man of God, would have read God's word, and he would have studied God's word. And I'm sure that he would have read Joel chapter 2, verse 32. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. John, does that count for everybody or just people in Muscatine? Harry, who doesn't fit into this category? Do the Africans? Do the Israelis? Do the Assyrians? Jonah knew this. Why did he flee? I don't want to go. They deserve God's punishment. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jonah knew that. But he didn't want to go. Jonah would have known that if he goes to Assyria and he proclaims God's truth, they repent, they turn to God, that God would have mercy and forgive them. But he didn't want to go. He spends a time in the belly of the fish, and his mind has changed. I'll go do what God has called me to do. But one of the things that Jonah didn't realize was that God was walking before him before he went to Assyria and talked with the people. The Assyrians were a superstitious people. In many cultures, people look to current events as to weather and things as this nature, as to what their life will be like and if it's good or if it's going to be bad. The Assyrians were this way. They were very superstitious. They had astrologers and all sorts of magicians that were looking to see what the future would be. So what was going on during this time? Well, there was a famine that had been raging. Many people were starving. It had gone on for about 7 years. People were hungry. For the Assyrians, this was a sign that they were doing something wrong. The Assyrian army was not doing well. They were losing battles, and the nation itself was struggling with many people in rebellion of their authority and of their leadership. This was another sign to them. And then not too long before Jonah arrived, there was a solar eclipse, a total solar eclipse that had happened. The sun was blocked out in the middle of the day. They had believed that when a solar eclipse occurred, that another country was going to come into Assyria and dispose of the king and take over ruling Assyria. They believed that if that didn't happen, then something was going to happen to their king, and then some awful king was going to come in and take over Assyria. And if that didn't happen, one of those two things, then the third option was that there was going to be a huge rainstorm, going to cause a massive flooding, and it was going to wipe out the whole city. To top it off, there was a plague that had been going on in this area, in Assyria. A plague that, like the bubonic plague, many thousands of people died. That was another sign. Something was not right. Let's look at Jonah chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against the message that I tell you." So Jonah rose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Jonah had no idea what would occur. 40 days and the city would be destroyed. The city would be destroyed, they said. You know, they knew that that meant that their life would be destroyed. All these things had been happening into their life that they saw and foretold, their life would be taken from them. That life was not good. What they were doing was wrong. When Jonah came and preached, their worst fear, they came to believe, would be true. That within 40 days, this God, this man of Jonah, this God would come and overthrow them. See, Jonah came into Assyria. He was a Hebrew. He was a prophet. He dressed as a Hebrew. He dressed as a prophet. And so when he came in, he wasn't an Assyrian. When he came into Assyria, they realized and they saw that he was a Hebrew. They saw he was a man of God. And so when he comes into the city, they are noticing him. They start getting a follower. All these things have been happening in Assyria. And they're wondering, is this man going to tell us about God? Is this man going to declare something that we believe will happen? That all these signs are foretelling us, this is the end of Assyria. This is the end of Nineveh. He comes into Assyria and he starts sharing with the people. In 40 days, God is going to destroy Nineveh. Your lives will be gone. Your lives will be taken from you. Let's look at point two. True repentance. See, the people responded in a way that Jonah didn't want them to respond. They believed. Let's read Jonah, beginning at verse 5. "And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published throughout Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast nor herd taste anything, let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and their violence that is in their hands. We don't have the complete record of all that Jonah shared. We don't have a complete record of exactly where he went. But we have the information that God wanted us to have. That Jonah went to an evil people to preach his truth, and they repented. They saw the evil that they had been doing, and they stopped. They saw that they needed to give their lives over to the Lord. They did. The people themselves had said, we got to stop this. The king had told them, stop your evil behaviors. Stop what you're doing and turn to the Lord. Sackcloth. Sackcloth was a very uncomfortable garment that they would put on. It was goat's hair, and it was black, the black goat's hair, and they would put this garment on, so it was very, very uncomfortable. And they would then sit in ashes to signify that everything is gone, to signify that their life has been a waste, that their life is now ashes, and they are in complete devastation as a people. It wasn't just a few people, but it was all the people of Nineveh, the rich, the poor, the middle class. There was no commerce going on. There was no buying and selling. Nobody was going out and getting goods. No one was bringing stuff in. The whole city was in mourning because Jonah went into the city to proclaim God's truth. Everyone in the city repented. The king had heard God's message through the people. The king had his counselors share with him what was going on. It doesn't appear from the text that Jonah spoke directly to the king. It appears that the king had gotten this information third hand. And when he did, he himself responded, forgive me, I have done wrong. Not only I, but all of my inhabitants in this city. We need to turn to God. And maybe, just maybe, by our humble and repentant attitude, God may save us. God may have mercy on us. They weren't certain, but they knew what they had done was wrong. The life they had been living was wrong. They stopped what they had been doing. And then the king asked them, call out, pray. Call out to the Lord. Maybe, just maybe, God will change his mind. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger in verse 9 so that we may not perish. Isn't this a common question that so many that we talk with have? They know the life that they've been living is not right. They know that what they've been doing is wrong. And they may talk to you, they may come to church with the question, maybe, just maybe, God will forgive me. We have a merciful God. Let's look at point three, God's mercy. Harry, I'm going to ask you to stand and read John 3:16, if you would, real loud for everybody. You must have that wrong. I don't think you're reading it right. Just God only loves a few of us, right? God so loved you. God so loved you. God so loved me that he gave his son that we may have life. He didn't ask you to give a tithe. He didn't ask you to dress up. He didn't ask you to change. He said, while you were still sinners, while you are still in your sin and doing things that showing that your hatred towards me, my son died for you so that you could have new life, life with me, life eternal. John, we see this verse, was it true in Jonah's day? They didn't have the scripture. John didn't write this yet. But did they have this truth? Real loud. What? Yes. Jonah knew that. Jonah knew that really well. He knew that God loved the Assyrians if they would turn from their evil way. So when God saw what they did, look at verse 10 of Jonah. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented from the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. This was good news. This was great news. They now have the opportunity. They now have the opportunity to be a witness to all of Assyria. They now have the opportunity, because of God's mercy, to witness and to be God's witness, to be God's declaratory truth of who God is and the mercy that he has shown if people turn to him. Because of the commerce, the city, over 120,000 people, and it was a major city. And now, because of the truth that has come into their lives, they could have been the voice of truth. They could have rung out in all of the Middle East. Where is Nineveh? Deanna, how are you good with geography? Nineveh? Anybody good with geography? Dave? It's real near Mosul. We heard about Mosul, right? ISIS taking over Mosul. They destroyed a lot of the artifacts. What's going on in that part of the world now? See, they could have been an incredible witness for the Lord. But these people turned. And they were able to see God's mercy. God knew how evil these people were. Rather than rejecting them, God sent a prophet named Jonah. Upon hearing this truth, they confessed. They turned. Let's look at 1 John 1:9 if we can. Harry, I'm going to ask you if you can stand and read again. If we confess our sins, if I come to the Lord and just say, God, I'm just like the Assyrians, I'm a sinner. I have done evil in your sight. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Change my heart. God says that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you have not received God's forgiveness, if you have not accepted Christ, I would encourage you and open this morning up to you. You're welcome to share and talk with someone who is sitting beside you. You're welcome to come up and talk with me or John or Harry. Maybe you have accepted Christ. Maybe you feel weighted down and you still haven't gotten rid of a lot of junk that has been in your life, and you still struggle with sinful behaviors, things that you continue to plague your life and you struggle with. I would invite you to ask the Lord to forgive you. I would invite you to ask the Lord and then accept the forgiveness that he says he is offering you. I always view the sins of the past as kind of like a ball and chain. That heavy weight oftentimes is latched around my foot, and I keep lugging it around. I did that for years. Remember, I told you that I was told I was stupid. Even after I came to Christ, I used that as an excuse so that I wouldn't be responsible and have to go do what God wanted me to do. I'd say, God, look at this back here. Don't you see this? We really can't have freedom in Christ until we cut off that chain. And if you have questions about that, John deals with people in these types of situations all the time, and he'd be happy to sit down and talk, wouldn't you, John? Maybe God is asking you this morning and showing and putting on your heart a people that you never really wanted to go talk to. It could be a family member that you're struggling with. Could be a neighbor, a person at work. Maybe groups of people that you're like, no, they're too far out there. And you could ever imagine going and talking to them. Maybe God is putting it on your heart, you need to go. Maybe you've been like Jonah and said, no. Not going to go over talk to them. If that be the case, I would encourage you this morning to ask for forgiveness and to look to the Lord and say, God, forgive me. I, like Jonah, have been disobedient. I, like Jonah, just struggle with sharing. And I'm not certain if I go and talk to these people if they will accept Christ. That's not your business. If God calls you to go, you go. You leave the results to Him. If you struggle with how do you share Christ, how do you speak to your neighbor, or how do you help them move forward in their life, if you struggle in this area, if you don't really know, I would invite you, can we turn to that one slide that has all the, there we go, thank you. Sunday morning, we are doing a Bible study, and also you have one going too, and stuff on Sunday morning. There's two things going on we would encourage you to be a part. On Wednesday night, there's a various small groups where you can get active. If you struggle with how do I share God, how do I share my relationship I have with God with someone else, these are two opportunities that are available to you. I would like to invite you to take one more, and that would be is that call me up. I am very free to meet with you individually, very free to meet with a small group or even within families or areas. But it's in your ballpark. If that is a struggle and if that is that's something that you desire to know more about God's Word, know more about how to share your faith, know more about your life in Christ and the freedom that you have, I would encourage you to be involved. One of the things that I would like us to remember as we read in John 3:16, and we read here in John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, no matter who that is, if they confess their sins, God is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. He's willing and open to, willing to do that with you and I. He's willing to cleanse and to forgive anyone who calls on His name. Let's pray. Father, I just thank You and just praise You for this passage in Jonah. Father, You have, through this teaching, opened up to us that no matter what people have done, You desire to forgive them and hope to forgive them if they turn to You. Father, You have opened up to us the obedience that we need to be obedient to Your voice, obedient to Your call, and going to people, going and doing and proclaiming Your message. Father, we thank You and just praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.